Under the Stone of Destiny. Chapter 5. Flee! There was a shock at breakfast time a few days later.
Due to the war and our proximity to the front line, there have been concerns about security and safety, announced. Now we may not be getting any more food supplies. It's been decided to split you among other colleges. Dunraglan Town has started evacuating. You'll all help pack everything important, including the library. Then we will destroy the site entirely, so it can't be used for war. This is because Ardmacha on the west adjoins both Tuas and Larn and has now allied with Tuas. This morning we got word on the semaphore that the Ardmacha troops have crossed the Larn border. They have ended their neutral status and allied with Tuas, claiming that Larn attacked. Certainly someone raided Capa Mellor, and it's likely still burning. We think it was some force pretending to be Larnian troops. We had an idea this would happen in the spring.
Kevin realized that tomorrow would be in Bilbock. No doubt the war would be starting in earnest again now with the better spring weather coming. They only packed the older valuable scrolls and books from the library. Most of the printed ones would be abandoned. The printing presses were dismantled. The parts and the type were all dumped in the river from the middle of the bridge. The next day, parties were leaving in different directions, but away from the new front. The wagons headed southwest towards Carrickbone, and then south to Dalrynath City, the capital of Larn, as were about two-thirds of the staff and students. The rest heading south to Moorabeal College in Deas Cet, the name of the kingdom being a corruption of Southern Quarter, via Newbridge. But the Dean would take Kevin, Megra, Galoric and Anri to the nearest Fenn's Abbey in the north of Deas Cet, nearly due east, because of the still unresolved threat to his life. The four had packed bags and had been waiting in the main hall for hours. They were the last students. Dean David was supervising the work of the team setting mines and delay fuses to at least make the castle worthless, if not totally destroy it. But this was taking longer than had been anticipated.
If we went northeast, we could search for the artifact, said Kevin.
We started Megra, but she was interrupted by an almighty bang. Kevin scrambled up onto the windowsill.
We need to go, he shouted. Gates are destroyed. They're fighting in the courtyard.
Shouldn't we help? Said Galoric.
I don't think so, said Henry, as I don't doubt we'd be killed.
I've never fought anyone, said Megra.
We should leave. We are no match for soldiers. I expect our people will surrender.
Out
the northeastern postern in Shorka's room, said Kevin. No time to debate. The fight is over in the courtyard. We can see from the woods to the northeast what's happening as it's higher ground, all open in the other directions.
I left something in the library, shouted Henry. Help me, Megra.
They stopped as it was on the route to Shorka's room and the girls dashed in.
Open the cabinet, Megra.
Henry thought the librarian was absent-minded and might have left the interesting book about the White Mountains. Megra sprung it open with her knife and Henry grabbed the book.
It's about the White Mountains. There used to be a college there, the first one.
Shorka had left the key in the lock, which wasn't surprising as it was heavy, and she used a door many times a day. Galoric locked it behind them and dropped it in some bushes as they ran towards the hills. No one intercepted them and they climbed up the hill a bit until they got a good view. Galoric produced a small brass telescope and watched.
The fighting's over. I can see the Dean and most of the workers. They're heading on the road to the capital. Is anybody looking in our direction? Said Kevin.
No, well, perhaps the Dean keeps looking back.
Anyone got a mirror? The sun's position is suitable, said Kevin. Megra produced a small brass box and polished the bottom of it on her cloak. Kevin flashed MGCA repeatedly.
He stopped looking back, said Galoric. They are moving, though oddly, in line along the edge of the road and also some abreast across the road.
That's L, said Megra, for all received.
So what is? Said Galoric.
What did you send? Said Anri. It can't have been much.
Just our initials, as they would mean nothing to anyone else, replied Kevin. We now need to go north.
Because of all those troops coming from the west, said Megra. Even if we could get past them and the castle, someone needs to warn the Larnian army, or there will be terrible bloodshed.
We better go as fast as we can, said Kevin. Fortunately, the troops can't move as fast as us.
But they have horses for the baggage, added Henry morosely.
If we have anything we don't need, we should cache it away a bit from here, explained Kevin. He set off up the hill to the north.
Someone might have seen the flashes and come and investigate. Horses can't come this route.
The others hurried to catch up.
Try not to trample plants or break branches, said Megra. Walk in each other's footsteps so as it's hard for someone to know how many there are. Henry, you can sense life.
Yes, she agreed. I'd be able to sense if someone is on our trail.
Then you take the rear. Galoric next, and then Kevin in front of me, said Megra.
Megra, can I have your knife? Suggested Kevin. They stopped while she got it out of her boot. Kevin looked at it and then tucked it carefully into his belt.
It's like a hunter's knife or a dress sword for a child. It's very old.
Very big for a utility knife.
It's a family heirloom, said Megra, and I'll be quite annoyed if you break or lose it.
I appreciate that, said Kevin. I've never fought for real, though I was taught fencing, more as a sport. It's best, though, if we don't need to fight. Kevin was thankful that there had been a warm wind and no rain for the last week. The ground was firm. Most of the trees and bushes had a lot of fresh growth. Here they were all native.
About half an hour later, there was a series of almighty bangs.
They've deliberately destroyed the college, said Galoric.
They can't be meaning to hold the territory.
They reached the ridge before dark. The trees meant they had no view back towards the college. They could see a smudge on the northern horizon and over to the east, the White Mountains. They were moving slower now.
Several times, Henry thought, she sensed someone or an animal following. Maybe two large animals. Then she stumbled, and Galoric took her bag and mounted it on his chest.
He insisted she go in front of him. After dark, they could see a glow to the north. Probably the camp of the command group and reserve troops. They decided to keep going.
Keep your hoods up and say nothing, urged Kevin. Let me do the talking.
At last they were challenged. Kevin projected a glamour of four young adult Tuatha troopers. His training over the last 4 months was proving valuable.
We have come from Dunraglan Castle with an urgent message from the Chancellor to your commander, said Kevin. It's for a senior officer's ears only.
Why not the semaphore system, said the guard.
It's not possible. You will take us to your senior officer.
Kevin knew he was overexerting his magic, but the glamour held. The guard didn't notice Kevin's skin was starting to sparkle.
Come this way, he said. I must take you to the captain.
Soon they were in the captain's tent.
You have no time to spare, explained Kevin. We've just escaped from Dunraglan Castle. Yesterday afternoon, we got warning that Ard Magha had declared war and we were mining the castle. Unfortunately, the vanguard of their expeditionary force arrived before the plan was completed. There is a massive army moving east from Ard Magha.
There then we're surrounded and cut off from supplies, he said. I'm Captain McBrana.
That's quite a trek. Galoric set down Anri's pack and sat down on a stool. Suddenly the glamour was gone and Kevin collapsed, but was caught by Megra and laid down gently. The captain stared.
You're an elf. He's a dwarf.
Yes, and I'm a Balta. What you agree? Megra can't speak Larnian so well. You'd find Galoric's accent hard to follow when he's so tired. I'm not so lively right now either. I think, though, we're both stating the obvious, like Rain as well. I speak Larnian better than Galoric the Crannock and Megra the Lorinock, though she, well, never mind. She sat with a bump on a camp stool.
I better talk to some people, he said. Private, switch Sindarg. But first get these people food and drink and blankets. Light the charcoal heater. He dashed off.
The guard was astonished. He was sure he'd brought four young Larnian troopers to the captain. These were kids. Only one was even a 2D. He stood staring at them for a moment after the captain had gone. He realised that the boy was asleep and the other three close to collapse. But what an elf. He'd never seen her like.
Don't move, he said. I'll do what the captain said.
He says, we're not to move, said Anri in common. She laughed. Yes, as if we could manage it.
I do Larnian not bad now, said Megra. Don't tire yourself more, Anri.
Soon men came with a aid. The original guard was presumably back guarding.
I'm Private Sindarg, he said. I look after the captain's needs.
The smell of food roused Kevin.
It's okay, said Megaren Larnian. The captain went off to do whatever he needs to do.
They sat eating and drinking.
Thoughtful of him to provide food we can all eat, said Megra. Anri, have you the mage ability to know if Kevin is fine?
Kevin, your skin had gone sort of sparkly before you passed out. Isn't that a bad sign?
You're right, he said. I overexerted myself. I was too tired. I'm ravenous now.
Take it easy, admonished Anri, or you'll sick it up again.
Kevin grimaced and chewed more slowly.
Aye, listen to the lass, said Galoric as he took a huge bite from a massive wedge of bread and chicken.
Kevin was relieved there was apple juice because the tea looked poisonous. Besides, over 5 months ago, Megra had never had tea and couldn't have imagined she ever would, though she actually quite liked tea now. But this stuff looked and smelt like diluted tar.
Is that really tea?
Said Megra. Army tea, said Kevin. Only possible to drink with a large amount of sugar and milk, or perhaps preserved cream. Some take it with butter.
It sounds disgusting, she said.
Ah, 'tis grand, said Galoric, quaffing it. His mug did look like it was mostly dairy produce flavoured with tar, and it smelled sweet.
I agree with Megra, said Kevin. He took some apple juice.
Anri sniffed at it suspiciously.
It started fermenting, she stated, but it won't do me any harm.
What about us? Said Megra, setting it down.
You couldn't drink enough to even get jolly, she said. It's fine. You only think you're fussier about food than I.
The captain arrived back.
I reckon the young lad is a telepath or an enchanter, said Sindarg.
That was already evident, said Captain McBrana. You get some sleep. I'll need you again later. He returned to the visitors. I must thank you on the behalf of the command team for breaking your neutrality. You're all MAGA, magic students from the Dunraglan Castle College. Kevin looked at Megra, and she nodded her head slightly.
More or less, said Kevin. We're all students.
There still appears to be a connected semaphore network, but careful tests suggest Dard Macha is operating it, because it seems most messages to and from the rest of Larn are probably not getting through, or are heavily edited, possibly using some of our people under duress. So we think assuming certain codes are compromised. I think we have avoided revealing to them that we know we're cut off. What are you going to do now?
Kevin looked at Megra.
Don't tell them our real destination.
We'll go east to Fen Abbey, suggested Kevin. I can arrange that, he said. You have no bedrolls or bivouac sheets.
We had to leave rather suddenly due to the storming of the college, explained.
Sleep here till the morning, said the captain. I have a lot to do. I'm sure being neutral you don't want to know. I presume you felt it was the least evil to warn us rather than leaving us to be surprised.
The others agreed we should warn you, and they are not Larnians. We didn't analyse it or debate it.
Your plan of going to the Fen Abbey in the Escat is probably a good idea. Good night.
They made themselves as comfortable as possible and were soon asleep. They each had a lightweight bedroll and a waterproof sheet tied on their backs. Each also had a scabbard and an army hunting knife on their belts, so Megra had her own knife stowed in her boot again. It was now late in the day. They travelled a little south of due east, using the compass they'd been given to avoid troops. Now they planned to go due east. Megra and Kevin sat on the turf studying the maps. Anri was lying on her back. She was asleep. Galoric rifled her pack and transferred as much as he could to his own.
Maybe this is a good time to mention it, said Galoric.
What? Said Kevin.
I had to get up in the middle of the night, said Galoric.
Perhaps that ghastly tea, said Megra.
Whatever, said Galoric. I overheard them discussing their redeployment. Obvious, really, that they have to give up the valley here and fall back through the much later Ard Macha troops before they get dug in. They're going to mine with a special new kind of delayed anti-personnel booby trap. They expect 50-75% casualties for the Tuasian troops.
We have to tell it to us, commanders, said Anri. Then they can advance more carefully or stay put. That would benefit everyone. More of the Larnians will escape and less Tuasians will die and be injured.
I'm suspicious, said Megra. What is this special device, this new type of mine?
How could they have made the hundreds of thousands needed without the secret getting out? Perhaps this was something they wanted us to hear. One or more of us was bound to get up and go in the middle of the night.
You're very devious, Megra, said Kevin. How do we quickly get across the lines to warn them anyway?
They all studied the maps.
What about simply going north here, said Megra. The Larn line is likely thinner because of the terrain to the south. No point in the Tuas army trying to break through here. It's more the direction we need to go for the White Mountains, as saying this side of the lines would take us far out of our way to Fen Abbey.
They all looked north. Certainly Kevin could see the start of the trenches.
How do we get past? Said Galoric.
Kevin can do some sort of glamour where we are invisible, said Megra.
I'm trying, he said.
It's not working, she said. Because she knows we're here, suggested Anri.
Megra closed her eyes and spun around and walked off a little. "Now I can't see you," she said, opening her eyes and twisting round if she thought they were.
"Can you hear me?" said Henry.
"You sound very far away." "What about me?" said Kevin. Suddenly everyone was visible to Meg.
"Talking to me telepathically broke the spell," said Megra. "I don't know if it's because you know me or
you can't do both at the same time."
"Likely a latter," muttered Glorik. "I've been learning to use my wizard magic over a year and I can't do two spells simultaneously. Only Mordecai and David are good at that."
"Don't use telepathy while you're making us invisible. Certainly not the Megra." As they could think of nothing else better, they folded the maps, adjusted their packs and set off north.
"Interesting that it worked on you, Megra, and not on Galoric or Henry," said Kevin.
"You'd have to be very good indeed for Clamor to work on a Magus. I had thought that kind of spell doesn't work on anyone magical, no matter how powerful the Magi is, but Mordecai proved me wrong. He can do it."
"Are we likely to meet anyone magical?" said Glorik.
"Hardly," agreed Kevin.
"So I'm useful for testing spells," laughed Meg. "I'm glad to be walking and not riding. Even our trek yesterday was better than riding."
"I'd happily have ridden," said Henry. "That trek did in my feet. I managed to heal the blisters, though."
"The Balti don't keep horses any more than we do," said Megra. "Well, on this continent."
"I learnt at college," said Henry. "Your people used to have native animals like the horses. Some sort of plague wiped out the larger beasts that we use, Megra. The other two continents have them. We do use the same ones as the dwarves for packs, but they aren't tall enough for us to ride."
"Right," said Kevin. "We better not talk till I say."
A problem," said Henry. "I'm sure I can't jump over the trenches."
"Can I try lifting you?" said Glorik.
She nodded and took off her pack.
"I'll throw," said Glorik. "You catch Kevin. She's very late for her size."
"I have hollow bones and break easily," gasped Henry. "Don't drop me."
Kevin caught her.
"I'd take your cloak and knife," said Kevin. "You weigh maybe half what I thought."
Henry grimaced.
"My lips are sore, but not broken."
Kevin released his grasp and set her down gently. Megra took Henry's pack. Crossing areas of sharpened stakes and razor wire was difficult. Time after time, Kevin jumped. Megra threw hers and Henry's packs to him and jumped. Then Glorik threw his pack and then Henry. Sometimes Glorik used his wizardry to push aside wire and stakes for them. Kevin could see Henry was now in pain. He shifted the glamour so that they looked like two Azian troopers.
"We need to see your commander with urgent news," he told an astonished trooper.
He spoke Larnian softly and trusted his magic to make it sound like loud commanding to Azian. A lot of the speech was similar. Because he wasn't exhausted from walking, he found maintaining and projecting the glamour easier. Henry and Glorik looked very concerned, but Megra was smiling. Kevin let the glamour fade after the trooper introduced them in the lieutenant's tent, far behind the lines. He left and had never suspected.
"An elf, dwarf bride, and a glamorous toasty," he laughed. "This better be good. I guess you must all be Magi."
"We're neutral," said Kevin. "We were students at Dunraglan College until your allies, the Ardmacha, seized it. So we felt bound to limit pointless bloodshed by warning the Larnian troops of the fact they're cut off. It seems they expect to inflict terrible casualties on you with some sort of new booby trap mine as they withdraw south."
Sit down," he said. "I'm Lieutenant Hennessy. What's your names?"
"Princess Megra, Wizard Glorik, and Madge Henry," he gestured.
and each bowed. I'm Melis Kevin Culrinus, Mac Lord Adair. It's entirely possible that the supposed mines are a fiction, but in the interest of reducing pointless bloodshed, we thought you ought to know. The Larnian commanders think we went east. I cast invisibility to cross the lines, then changed the glamour to appear as your own troops. Megra groaned. Yes, very convincing, he said. But it would be as I expect to see, not what you project. I've studied this subject a little. What ails you, Your Highness? Kevin and Megra looked at each other.
I'm fine, she said.
That would be how it works, said Kevin. So we can appear as people I've never seen. If I don't make some suggestions, then different people might see different troopers. I'm sure people did, as we were in a hurry. Megra would rather not be reminded of being a princess. That's my fault.
What do you plan to do next?
Go east. You don't seem very worried.
No, I'm not, he said. It was wrong of Ardmacha to seize your college. Everything about this stupid war is as wrong as can be. If I believed in magical conspiracies, it would make more sense.
There certainly is someone malevolent behind it, said Kevin. He's based in the Black Tower, where evil enchanters have been based for generations.
Ah, the original Maga College in the White Mountains. Anyway, we are not in a rush to advance as the Larn retreat or attack the Ardmacha. The mechanized gun is a good defensive weapon, not much use for rapid advance, unless perhaps on a wagon, which don't work in a valley full of trenches and earthworks. We'd not easily get supply wagons across the mess here, much less road trains. I think you should slip off now to the east before someone higher up decides to take the Ardmacha in view of how to observe the status of magical neutrals. He wrote out four passes. Take these in case you run out of magic before you're clear. Just head north a little, then east. I can't tell on you if I don't ask exactly where you're going.